Some time ago, I was watching John Leon Lewis, a friend of mine who served with Promise Keepers as one of the praise leaders, a very tall African-American song leader with a very deep voice. I was complaining to John. I was telling him I just didn't like some of the new music that's out there. It was one of those afternoons I just felt like griping. So I just don't like it. And he looked at me, he looked down at me, and he started chuckling. He says, "Dave, your problem is," he says, "you listen with old ears. That's your problem." And I thought I was pretty young. You listen with old ears. You don't hear what other people are hearing. And that might be so true. You know, we live in an age where preference is king. You know that, don't you? Preference for some is everyone. I like what I like, and I want what I like. And if I don't like something, it's no good. How often do we hear that? Even in the church, believe it or not. I like this, I don't like this, which means we ought to do that, right? Our age is an age of preference, perhaps more than ever before in the history of the world, and that's pretty bold. When was the last time you went to buy aspirin in the store? Remember the old days when you just go in for 99 cents and buy a bottle of Bayer aspirin? Remember that? A while ago, my wife sent me to get aspirin. There were so many choices, it wasn't funny. So many choices. I didn't know what to get. I had to talk to somebody. Salad dressings, entertainment choices, 24/7 on demand. In fact, we have some of the teachers telling us, why can't school be like that? You know, some students are staying home and watching school online. The parents would like it to be on demand so that they can watch it whenever they want to watch it. That's their preference. Music, as you know, has become an overriding preferential issue, and churches today are often chosen not based on what they teach, but what's the style of music. And there is something to say for that sometimes. But sometimes we're really, really concerned about preferences. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ often called for self-denial. Did he not? Saying no to myself and yes to him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and I won't read these particular references to you. Paul instructed believers in Christ not to be concerned about their own interests, but be concerned about the interests of others. Put other people first. I'll tell you what, if the Church of Jesus Christ would obey Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, we'd wipe out the racial problem. We really would. Put other people first. James chapter 4, verse 10, James tells his readers to be about humbling ourselves, not, you know, parading our preferences. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John warns us about loving the world and the things in the world. A question you might be asking yourselves, why are we talking about music now? I mean, the world's a mess. Our country's confused. Are there not other more important issues to talk about when feeding the flock? Well, there's a lot of good issues, but what I want to do here, I want to give you some biblical principles that apply not only to music, but also to many other areas in life. So follow the blue outline. So far, we considered Roman numeral 1, or number 1 on your outline, we considered a biblical principle based on creation. And this is a very, very strong verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, where Paul said to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God." And here it is. Here's the principle. "Who gives us richly all things to enjoy." That's a strong statement. God has given us all things to enjoy, even though still tainted by sin. That includes music. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read this last couple weeks. Chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 and 5 tell us that every creation of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's set apart, sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And in the midst of a chaotic, sinful world that you and I live in, God has given us all things to enjoy. And it'd be a great thing if you would take the time, I would take the time to enjoy what God has created for us. As we sang this morning, the ensemble sang for us, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. One day we're going to see everything perfect. And meanwhile, we understand things tainted by sin, but it's God's creation, and it's for here for us to enjoy. And I'm going to go enjoy it this afternoon. We're going to have time. We're going to have, 78 degrees, 80-degree weather? Warmer in Dover, maybe? So, we're going to enjoy this. God's given us all things to enjoy. That's a very important principle, all right? Second principle we gave you last week, and we looked at the principle that music is definitely a power. It is a power, and it is a strong influence in your life. It is. We looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, where when they were dedicating the temple, when the musicians got together and they were worshiping, at the end of that celebration and praise, all the music involved, God shows up. God shows up when there's unity in a powerful way following the word of God. And then we also looked at 1 Samuel 16, where a harmful spirit was sent to discipline Saul, and it was by using music that it dealt with the harmful spirit. A lot of lessons there I'm not even sure we unearthed yet. You may want to jot down, if you have a pen, under number 2, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. And then I'll give you a third principle. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, this would include music, it would include just about everything. All things, Paul says, are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me, and he's discussing meat sacrificed to idols in this particular passage, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, and here's where the power comes in, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will be careful about besetting sins in my life, whether music or anything else. I will not be mastered by anything. I want to give you a third principle this morning. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to illustrate it with some scriptures. Then I'll give you a few warnings, and then I'd like to come back after a break during the Sunday school seminar time and discuss it a little more. We'll be offline. We can say some things, ask some questions. But the principle is this. The principle deals with a purpose for music, especially church music of any and every kind, and the issue is this. I believe the Word of God says that music is an instrument or a tool to express, highlight, emphasize God's glory in the exaltation of His Son, the resurrected, exalted, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about church music, we could find old hymns that are not even in our hymnal that sound so nice and they sound so churchy, but they say nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They say nothing about anything, but people like them. We can find new hymns that exalt the person and work of Christ. It's about the glory of God seen in the exaltation of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the overall emphasis of the New Testament, glory. That is where our focus as individuals and as a church needs to be going. We drift all the time. We go in different directions. It needs to get back to glorifying the Son of God. It's a continual struggle because of the pull of sin. It's spiritual warfare because we want glory for ourselves. Satan wants glory for himself. The world wants glory, pulls us away. But ultimately, we sing that great hymn, Jesus shall reign. It's all about Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if church music is to be in line with the Word of God, it's not so much the style or the tempo or all the instruments. We're not going to talk about that. It must be Christ-centered. It must deal with the glory of God. I want you to consider a sample of some New Testament texts. I wrote the references out there for you. Let's look at the witness of Scripture. And I'd like to take the time to have you look these up with me this morning. I'll try to slow down. Probably won't, but I'll try so you could find them. Most of these you know. Most of these have to do here with the big picture. We talk about music by way of application, all right, by way of application. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Most of these you probably have committed to memory. Paul is discussing meat sacrificed to idols, going on, the issue going on in the Corinthian church, and he comes down with a principle that applies to all of life. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what? Do all to the glory of God." That's the umbrella. That's the big picture. And if you're going to do all to the glory of God, you're going to bring all glory and honor to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Overall, umbrella goal for the believer, glorifying God. I'll never forget, I probably talked about this before, 1977, January. We were going back to college. They were going to have a mission conference, and they were bringing in a new speaker none of us had ever heard before. And we heard a lot of speakers, a lot of famous people speak. They brought in this young pastor from California. We never heard of him. Grace Community Church. And they introduced him, Dr. John MacArthur. He came on the podium, and he opened his mouth, and he said, "We're going to talk this morning how to glorify God." And I will never forget that series. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life for the believer is all about. I enjoy Bach's music. I love classical music. I study with it on. I listen to it on, usually in our house. My wife either has classical station all the time or contemporary Christian all the time, one or the other. And Bach said this. You know what he said. It's a famous saying. He said, "The aim and final reason of all music should be nothing else but the glory of God and the refreshment of the Spirit." And I understand that if he was happy with one of his compositions that he wrote, and he wrote a lot, he would write the little letters SDG on the bottom of the page. And you know, you musicians know what that stands for. It stood for Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God and the glory of God alone. It's no accident, beloved, that Bach's music will live on until the Lord Jesus comes. It's amazing. There's a lot of stuff that comes and goes, has absolutely zero shelf life. Bach is classic, and it will last. Why? Because he believed in doing all things for the glory of God. And the question we ask, does our music glorify God? Does it point to the Son? Does it honor the Son? If not, we need to adjust it for sure. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, Peter is talking about ministry in the local church, using your gifts in a local church, being concerned about the church maturing and moving forward. And he says this. He doesn't mention music, but he mentions worship here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, he says this. "If anyone speaks," and this is the context of the church and using your gifts, "let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves or ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies." And look at the purpose, the big picture. "That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." And notice, when Peter gets done, Peter's the practical one, is he not? Peter's the practical one. When Peter gets done, he says, "Amen," if not to say, "I need to pause for a moment. I need to pause for a moment and let this sink in. Let this sink in for a moment." Lord willing, we're planning on doing an extended study of 1 Peter. That's the next book we'd like to go through verse by verse here on a Lord's Day morning. Peter is so timely because Peter not only deals with suffering, but he deals with preparation for suffering. What are we to think and do as we prepare to suffer? I believe the United States is going to turn against believers in Christ sooner or later. I mean, we're going. You know, they're battling this in California. We have never heard anyone ever here before where they could shut down a church for any reason. I mean, you know, they say they have good reasons. You know, they're coming along for the first time in my lifetime saying the church cannot meet. And I know you're going to say they have reasons, but what's next? What's next? And if it happens in California, what's going to happen here sooner or later? We need to get ready. We need to get ready because you know what? I don't like this principle, so I'm not going to give it to you this morning. But God's, one of God's main ways of growing the church is through what? Persecution. He loves to purify the church. Vic knows that. He knows believers all over the place that have gone through amazing persecution, but the church is growing and it is thriving. Perhaps our turn is coming very, very shortly. And when I'm talking about persecution, I'm not talking about you can't get toilet tissue at Weiss. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real deal. Peter will prepare that, and we'll probably go through that using the English Standard Translation, and we'll probably have copies of those for you as well, right? Find Ephesians 3, verse, should be 21, not 30. Ephesians 3, 21. If anyone finds Ephesians chapter 3, verse 30, let me know, okay? All right. I haven't found that one. I do that to Brian every now and then. I give him verses to read that aren't there, but he finds out for Sunday, okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Paul is just concluding some majestic teaching about the Lord Jesus, about the church, about the mystery. And he says this. This is a great passage of Scripture. These are all good. Ephesians 3, verse 21. To him be glory in the church. That's the local church. That's the universal church. That's the whole church. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. And what's the last word there? It's almost again as if the Apostle Paul just pauses to let that sink in. It's all about Christ. It's all about God's glory. And our music has to be in line with the glory of God. Some of us old guys may not like this, but there's a conference that happens once a year. I mentioned this before. It's called the Passion Conference, and it's pretty amazing. It's absolutely amazing. They jam-pack it full of young people. They jam-pack it full of young people. And the music they play there, most of you probably won't like it. It's not your preferential track list. What do you call it, Tim? What do you call that list? You guys know. Playlist. Yeah, it's not in your playlist. My neighbor, he's watching, he's laughing at me all the time because I don't listen to 8-tracks, all right? I listen to reel-to-reels, and most people have no idea what those things are. If you have any you've seen any reel-to-reels in a dumpster, pick them up for me, okay? I'm collecting them. I like them. After this contemporary group comes and they have a time of contemporary worship and the kids go crazy, they bring up somebody like Dr. John Piper, and he preaches for over an hour. And the young people there are on the edge of their seats taking in. If you ever hear Dr. Piper preach, there's nothing funny about that. There's nothing entertaining about that. It's all about Christ and the glory of God and our responsibility. Obeying Ephesians 3, verse 21. Colossians 1. Turn to Colossians 1. It's a cousin chapter of Colossians 1. I want to read 16 through 19. This has to do with the exaltation of Christ. These are good verses that ought to be highlighted in your Bible. Bring your Bible to church, okay, mark it up. Colossians 1, dealing with the supremacy of the Lord Jesus. This has to guide our music choices. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 16, speaking about the Son of God. And by the way, if a Mormon or Jehovah Witness happens to knock on your door, take your Bible and just have them read these verses to you, okay? Just have them read these verses to you. In fact, the Jehovah Witness used to carry around, I don't know if they still do it or not, they used to carry around the old ASV, the ASV version, which is a good translation, not theirs, the ASV. Listen to this. For by him, that's Christ, all things were created, all things, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible. And Paul mentions a whole unseen realm that we rarely talk about. We want to talk about that in the weeks to come. We want to talk about the unseen realm. Whether thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's first place. That's first place. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All glory to Christ. We have not been able to sing as much during this pandemic season, and we're looking for the time very soon. Hopefully we'll be over so we can do more singing and just raise our voice and sing great hymns like All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Don't you love that hymn? Because it honors the exalted, ascended Christ. Let me have you go to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I want to remind you about the music of heaven. What's heaven like? Well, heaven's music is majestic. It's not boring. It's exuberant. Remember, there's going to be men and women from every tribe, nation, and people group. All right, it's not just us there. There's going to be people from all over the place, all different cultures, all different styles, and they're going to praise like never before. Listen to this, you know this. Revelation chapter 5, let's pick it up with verse 11. Verse 11, I looked, John writes, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, here's the music of heaven, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's redemption. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Majestic, universal, Christ-centered, dealing with the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for us. It's all about the glory of God in exalting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another ancient history story, 1976. It's a good year, 1976, bicentennial. My wife and I, we weren't married yet. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We took a lengthy bus ride from upstate New York. It was snowing like crazy. It always snows up there. It was snowing like crazy. We're taking the bus ride out to Urbana, Illinois for the missionary conference, the InterVarsity Fellowship sponsored every so many years, Urbana 76. We were there with over 17,000 collegiates, college students, looking for God's will in their life, many of them considering world missions. It was a great conference. Great conference. We went in that sports arena. It was cold. It was snowy out there. It was even colder out there in Illinois. Where is it? That city, wherever it is. Urbana, Illinois, right? The name of the city. And we heard some great preaching. Elizabeth Elliott was there. She wasn't preaching, she was teaching. Billy Graham was there. I thought, this is cool. I'm going to go shake Billy Graham's hand. Don't you think so? Couldn't get near. I tried. Dr. John Stott was there, a great Bible teacher. And I remember we'd get there early for the services. And we'd get there early, they gathered, and in one particular meeting, I will never forget this, that the students were all gathering early and getting up in the stands. It was a majestic place. They started singing. And they started singing, Do Lord. You know that song, Do Lord? You know that song, Do Lord. And so this part of the arena would start singing, Do Lord, and the other part of the arena would yell back, Way Beyond the Sun, or whatever it was, they'd go back and forth. The worship leader walked over, smacked down his book, and he told everyone to stop it. Stop it. He says, we're not going to give God any junk food. I never heard anyone say that. All those little courses, you know, rolling over, running, all that stuff. He said, none of that. None of that. There was silence. And he got out the InterVarsity songbook that was prepared just for that conference. And we all sang 17,000 plus, one of the great hymns of the faith, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful about junk food in the church, whether it's new or whether it's old. Brian and I get together in the morning sometime, and we were going over some of the stuff we sing in the church, which really has nothing to do about anything, but we like it because we sang it when we were little. Make sure it's all about the Lord Jesus. One more verse, and then we'll move on here. Well, we'll give you more verses. 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. This is a governing principle for Peter as well. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1:8, speaking of the Lord Jesus, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That needs to be reflected in our music. Not worrying always about the style or whether it's this kind of instrument or that kind of instrument, but is it honoring and glorifying the Son of God with biblical truth? Music is an instrument, a tool that must emphasize, it must focus on God's glory and the exaltation of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what that say again about church music? Number one, it's not about my preference. It's not about my preference. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a preference, all right? Some of us like to listen to the Sons of the Pioneers. Anyone like to listen to the Sons of the Pioneers? Anyone know who? Vicki, don't you listen to the Sons of the Pioneers? You can get them on 78s. We went to the last Saturday. It's been a long week. Last Saturday, we went to one of my favorite events out here in, I think it's Adams County, East Berlin, the annual Sweet Potato Festival. I didn't see anybody here. There, where were you? The annual Sweet Potato Festival. Where were you? I'm so thankful we didn't miss it. I'll tell you what, we almost missed it. So we went after church, we went home, ate a little bit, and we got caught in that truck parade. There was a truck parade with, what was it, the Hands Across America, something like that. All the tractor trailers and buses and fire engines were polished. They had this long thing. I couldn't break it to life. So we got out to the Sweet Potato Festival. It was great. I want to get there because they're having a gospel bluegrass concert. I have a friend, Brother Rich, believes that's the purest music under heaven. That's our preference. And we're there, my wife, she put it on her phone, we're singing gospel bluegrass, it's beautiful. That may not be your preference. You may like something else. It's okay to have a preference. Nothing wrong with that. But remember what we're trying to say about, it's all about the Lord Jesus. Check out Sons of the Pioneers when you get home, okay? Their gospel record, it was great. Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers, they're great. All right, a little more serious here. Let me give you a warning before we close. I want to give you a warning. I wrote this out for you. But Peter, reflecting Leviticus and a heart for God, and we don't talk about this much, and we really need to talk about it. Peter understands that you and I, if we have trusted Christ as Savior, we are called to a life of holiness. Amen? Holiness means separateness. We are to be different because we are different. We're not to be like we used to be. In fact, he puts it this way, 1 Peter 1, verse 13 and following. He says, gird up the loins of your mind for action, be sober, rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then Peter says this, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, you are to be holy because I am holy. That's not a suggestion. That's not an option. That is a mandate for the people of God. Because we are called to a life of holiness, and because we are living in a culture that is increasingly dominated by some sinkholes, I want to mention five troublesome areas to consider, to think about. We want to talk about these in the next hour a little bit. We'll take a break when we're done for about 5-10 minutes, and I want to come back for about 30 minutes or 45 minutes or so and cover some of these in the seminar. Anne-Marie will be here, Brian and myself. I want to talk about these. When I was in junior high, that was a long time ago, okay, you know that, it's getting longer all the time, we used to have youth conferences, and they would bring in someone to preach at us. They still do that today. But they would often bring in someone to come and speak about music. And once during my junior high years, I was up at a Word of Life rally. Dr. Jack Wurtz of Word of Life used to have rallies up at the great Brookdale Baptist Church. And I'll tell you, they were so popular and so big that often they'd have to have two rallies back to back, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. And Dr. Jack Wurtzon brought in a speaker by the name of Bob Larson. Bob Larson was a rock and roll artist who came to faith in Christ. And he wrote two books. And I read them. I got rid of them. I found them on eBay. I got two copies. I reread them again recently. One's called Rock and Roll, The Devil's Diversion. It's written about 1967, reprinted in 1970. And Larson goes over rock star after rock star, and he quotes them with their agenda. And he says, a believer in Jesus Christ should have nothing to do with this. And then a year or so later, Bob Larson wrote a book called Rock in the Church. And he warned the church not so much about the beat, the beat's an issue, but he warned the church about the philosophy behind the thinking. And the philosophy behind the thinking is like, give people what they want. Give them what they want. And if you could add a couple, you know, Bible phrases in there, that's nice, but give them whatever they want. I read those books recently and I thought, wow, have things changed. In the very places that Bob Larson spoke, they are promoting the very thing he was against. Amazing. Five sinkholes. I'll mention these. Say a few things about them, and then we'll go. I'll make you mad. Maybe you'll come back and we'll talk about it. Number one, beware of the danger of entertainment-centered worship. Beware of the danger of entertainment worship. I have a friend who used to preach upstate New Jersey, and he used to put in his bulletin, we make no effort to entertain. And there is a place for entertainment. Not all entertainment is wrong, okay? There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has created. But when it becomes the dominant drive in our life, there's a problem. And I don't have to tell you, you may know better than I do, that we are living in a culture dominated, driven by entertainment. And you know what the most venial sin is in our culture? What is the most venial, deadly sin? Boredom. We like to be entertained. We are usually bored. You know, you don't watch, we said this a couple weeks ago, you just don't watch the news all the time for 10 minutes. We watch the news all the time, and the news ought to be entertainment. Several years ago, somebody wasted their precious money and bought me a ticket to see the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. That was a waste. $100 ticket, you know, a waste of money. Anyhow, you know how I love sports, but I sat in Madison Square Garden, and we just didn't go see a ball game. We went to see the graphics, the lights, the unbelievable. And you know what? That's what a lot of people want on Sunday morning. There's a conflict of interest when it comes to the church, because for some folks, they want to be entertained. The church has to be about worship. It has to be about edification. Building people up. It's a battle for focus. We'll say more about that next hour. The danger of entertainment. And if church is an entertaining thing for you, you're going to want your preferences. You're not going to be looking for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Second, sinkhole or danger, the danger of assimilation. The danger of assimilation. Assimilation simply means being like everybody else around us, trying to blend in. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 6. Paul has some very strong words about assimilation, and you probably know them, and often they're just used to talk about one particular issue. I want to apply them to all of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 14, the danger of being assimilated, just dragged into everything around us, and so we lose our identity. And we think we act like everybody else and there's no distinction. And we really, really have to watch ourselves during a election season, because sometimes the church acts more like a political party, particularly during this election, than the Church of Jesus Christ. There's some biblical issues out there. It's very, very important. But we need to remember who we are and what we're about, all right? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't assimilate with them. You're different. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And the answer is what? Absolutely nothing. What communion, what fellowship has light with darkness? None. You can't mix them. You can't mix them. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has a temple of God with idols? None. None. You can't assimilate. You can't come together. And Bob Larson was really careful about using an ungodly system to bring to church. Verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We used to go to church and hear that kind of preaching. We used to go to church and hear preaching about holiness and sanctification and being different. Today, there's a danger of assimilation. Verse 1 of chapter 7, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness. Holiness in the fear of God. The danger of assimilation. Number three, there's a danger of confusion. There's a danger of confusion. If you remember the last 2 weeks, we read a number of passages from the book of Psalms, and often the Psalms would talk about singing what kind of song to the Lord? A new song dealing with redemption. The question we need to ask, does our music send a clear message? When people sing, I come to the garden alone, what is that about? Read those words. I mean, it's a nice hymn. It may be your favorite hymn, but what in the world is it talking about? There's contemporary stuff you listen to. What is it talking about? Listen to this. Paul's talking about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. And he's concerned because the church was out of control. I mean, they were just, at times, they were not doing things decently in order. They were getting up, they were exercising their gifts. There's no form to the system. And Paul says this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7 and 8, he said, be careful about the message that it doesn't, the signal you're sending that does not send confusion. He says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? If they're just blowing and they're confused, you're not going to know what they're playing about. Listen to this, a little more serious. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? It's the bugle here. If the soldiers are waiting to be revved up by the bugle off the battle and the bugle's playing some confusing sound, who's going to know what's going on there? And if we're not careful, our music can confuse. I hear from people who are saved out of the rock background a lot about this. It's confusing. Does our music send a clear message? And there are some forms that are not proper for God's people. Number three, the danger of mindlessness. Four, the danger of mindlessness. And that's simply just going with the cultural trend of just not thinking. I remember sitting under, right before he died, the expository teaching of Dr. James Boyce, who was really, really concerned about the whole trend of the entertainment world going to mindlessness. You don't have to think. You don't have to discern. When we get to Peter, Peter's going to talk about sober thinking, getting our minds ready for action, not being led astray by a mindless culture that's just entertaining. One verse here for you, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, you know this verse, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Do not drift into mindlessness. And then one more sinkhole that's doing great danger. And that's the danger, simply the danger of compromise. The danger of compromise. There's a good compromise, there's a bad compromise. We're not trying to talk, you know, we're just agreeing on things. We're talking about a compromise that waters down the message. Should I tell the story on live stream? We had an opportunity to meet B.J. Thomas several years ago. You know B.J. Thomas? The raindrops were falling on my head, or your head, or wherever, whose ever head they're falling on. Remember that? Well, he had some kind of religious experience. And there was a conference between semesters, and they called up my wife, and they asked her to play the piano for a big conference. And B.J. Thomas was going to sing. And so I brought my record. He had a Christian record. I wanted to get it autographed, and I did. He autographed it. He chatted with me for a little bit. But the message was totally compromised. The music was fun. The venue was fun. But when it came to the gospel message, there was none. There was none. Ephesians, we'll talk more about that next hour. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And this is an important admonition for the people of God. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We talked about music last week that brought in the presence of the Lord. Does our music honor the Lord? Does it focus on the Son? Does it give God all honor and glory and praise? Or does it grieve the Spirit? Good question to ask. Our music is to glorify God by exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Let's bow in prayer. You may be here this morning and you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. The Bible tells us that one day God is going to ultimately punish sin by sending sinners to a place called hell, where there will be a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire will not go out forever. God will do that because He is a righteous God. He is a just God. He will punish sin. But the Bible also tells us that God loved the world so much that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for the sin of the world, sent the Lord Jesus to the cross to die in our place, which leaves us with a choice. Either I could pay for my sin my way, and I'll never be able to pay for my sin, and I end up in eternal punishment, or I can have my sins paid for by trusting Christ and Christ alone. This morning, my friend, if you have never placed your hope, your faith, your confidence in Christ, right now where you're sitting, you need to just let go of whatever you're holding on to, whoever you're trusting in. Whatever you're trusting in, might be church attendance, good works, whatever. And you need to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist would say, flee from the wrath to come, flee to Christ. Believe that when Christ died, He died for you, taking your place, taking the wrath on Calvary that you deserve. And the moment the Word of God says we flee to Christ and believe that He died for our sin, the Bible says God will forgive us. He will transfer Christ's righteousness to us, reserve a place for us in heaven, and we could spend the rest of our life on earth and throughout all eternity giving honor and glory to the Son. If you'd like to trust Christ this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed, all you need to do, you could do this in the form of a prayer. Prayer will not save you. Jesus will. You could say before God, "Dear Heavenly Father," you could repeat silently after me, "Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. To the best of my ability, I believe that when Jesus died, he died for me. I believe, Father, that Christ died for me in my place. To the best of my ability, I'm placing my faith in him. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're trusting Christ for the first time this morning, I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray. Would you just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm trusting Christ for the first time this morning." We have some literature on the table that can explain to you and give you the biblical references how you can know for sure that you can have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for the gift of music. Lord, you know I love music. We enjoy music. We enjoy everything you've created for us. And Father, we want to see our music give glory to yourself in exalting your Son. And may our hearts be bent in that direction, because we believe that pleases you, not style but content, in Jesus' name. Amen.